Sandy, would you put that slide up for me, please?
Yay.
I've got slides. Well, I've learned that the slides keep our attention a bit longer. And I've realized that it's also a good story and a good picture to remember. And so I want to say, last week I spoke a little bit about what is our identity in. Is it in sin or is it in Jesus? Because actually I was supposed to preach about this last weekend, and as Luke and myself were discussing, we realized, but you cannot speak about holiness if you do not understand your identity in Jesus. And so tonight's title, if you're making notes, would be Called to Holiness. And so I've given this picture that you will see that to holiness, it looks beautiful. Like, I looked at the picture, I'm like, yo, it looks amazing. But a lot of the times, what we do with holiness is we go through the unholy path to enter into a place of holiness. But I want to start off by saying, what is holiness? And so first of all, it is the process of God making us whole to reflect His glory. And so that is part of holiness, is that it's the process of God making us whole to reflect His glory. But the actual word itself says that holiness is the state of being set apart or consecrated. And now you think to yourself, but Enrico, what does consecrated and set apart mean? I won't read the Hebrew word because I cannot pronounce it. But what it means is to cut. It means being cut off from common use and dedicated to God. As if we are called to holiness, it means that we are not just called to be set apart and do our own thing. No, we are called to be set apart for common use and be dedicated to God. And so I'm going to tell you a quick story about holiness. This is the wrong holiness. Okay, this is not the right holiness. This is the wrong holiness. Okay, so Elisa and myself, we've got a little blow-up pool. And you guys might have seen it because we've used it for baptism. But the problem with that pool is that it is very holy. Every time I pump it up, it blows down. And I'm like, ah, I need to blow it up again. And every hour, because it's so holy, I need to blow it up every hour. And then it comes a point in my life where I'm like, I'm going to chuck this thing away because it's so irritating. It's so frustrating to every hour go and pump that thing up. And so that is not the holiness that I'm wanting to chat about tonight. Because if we can say that we are holy, but the question is, are we holy like the swimming pool? Blowing down the whole time? Or are we actually holy? Where we are a beautiful, nice, steel swimming pool that doesn't have holes in, that can actually, in a sense, go down the whole time. But I want to say, that swimming pool, if we reflect to that swimming pool, that is actually us trying to do Christianity without Jesus.
Sure.
And that's a lot of times what we do as Christians. Lord, I can do this on my own. And then you look back, it's like, oh, there's a puncture there. And eventually you flat and you just don't know why. Because you've got holes in it. It's because you're not filled with Jesus. You're not filled with, Lord, I want to please you. Because we want to please ourselves. And it's all about me. And so I want to say that when we find our identity in Christ, which I spoke about last week, holiness is not something that we just hear about. It's not something that we just think about. It's something that we want to live. It's something that I desire. And so my question this evening is, what is the purpose of holiness?
Holiness
is for us being prepared to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because when we enter into the kingdom of heaven, we will change from this place of not being holy to being in a place of perfect holiness with Christ.
Yeah.
And so in the process of God preparing us to enter into the kingdom of heaven, He's not just placing patches all over the holes. He's actually changing the whole inflatable pool. So I want to say, holiness is actually God preparing us for heaven, preparing us to enter into His kingdom, but He's also preparing us to look like Jesus. Because that is the man that we've been called to be like. Not to just look at Him and see, oh, Jesus died on the cross for me, that's beautiful, I want to follow Him. No, no, no. It's, man, Jesus died on the cross for me. I want to lay down my life just as He laid down His life for me. I want to do everything according to His will. Because I want to be like the man who gave up himself for you and me. And my question for us this evening is, do you want that? Is that truly your heart? Is your heart, Lord, I want to get rid of sin completely. I want to destroy sin. It would be like a bonfire, just putting all my sin into that bonfire and saying, no more will this burden me. No more will this be part of my life. I want to get rid of it. And so 1 Peter 1 verse 13 to 16. It says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Verse 14. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God chose you, is holy.
Sure.
For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. And so He didn't just say, be holy. He said, be holy for I am holy. And so He's called us to Him and not away from Him. And as He's calling us to Him and drawing us closer to Him, He's actually teaching us to be more like Him. But the thing about holiness is that as we look at it, it's like, Lord, I want it. But how do I get it? How do I go there to a place of becoming holy as You have called me to be holy? And it's this. Learning how to see and recognize sin. Because that is what keeps us from holiness. Is we don't understand and see what is sin in our lives. And so here are some sins that I'm just wanting to read out for us. One of it is stealing, lust, lying, bitterness. And my favorite one, because we all have it constantly in our lives, selfishness. James 1 verse 15. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. And why am I reading this portion of scripture? Because as we sin, we start hardening our hearts towards God. We start, in a sense, closing our ears, and we start not listening when He calls us to be holy, when He calls us to change, when He warns us, saying, Henrique, there is sin right in front of you. And it's like, Jesus, I know. But I don't care right now. I'm going to step into it. And it's because my heart has been hardened. Because I'm not wanting to be like Jesus. I'm selfish and I want to be me. I want to be whatever I want to be. And I want to say, the more we walk into these sins, the more we walk into the traps of the enemy, we start looking less like Jesus and starting looking more like Satan. And that is the reality. Satan has a trap behind every corner. Every step you take is going to try to kill, steal, and destroy. So would you allow him to steal, kill, and destroy? Or are you going to fight and say, Lord, I want to be holy as you are holy. I want to be the son or the daughter you have called me to be. I want to walk into the freedom that you've given me. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, he didn't say, okay, you are free, now do what you want. He said, no, you are free. Now lay down your life for me.
Come on.
Because he wants us to look like him. He wants us to be perfect as he is perfect. He wants us to be holy as he is holy. Because that is the calling for us as Christians. We are not called to be that inflatable pool that blows down the whole time. We are called to be holy in the perfect image of our Creator. The one who formed you. The one who molded you in your mother's womb. The one who sacrificed himself that you might live. Have breath in your lungs every day when you wake up. And you and me, we take it for granted each day. And so how do we walk in holiness? It's actually quite simple. It sounds hard, but it isn't. So as we start to follow Jesus, we need to realize we have been made clean by him, first of all. He's cleansed us from our sins. He's given us this freedom to walk away from sin. And here's the thing about sin. When we look at it, it should be unpleasing. And the more we spend time with Jesus, the more we look at the holy image of God, our Creator, saying, Lord, I want to be like you as best as possible. As far as possible, I want to live for you. I don't want to live in my sinful nature. I want to live for your glory and your kingdom. I want to come to you one day in heaven and I want to hear the words saying, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to get to him and hear him say, depart from me because I never knew you. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And so he has called me to be a spotless bride. You and me, we have been called to be a spotless bride. And what does that mean? It means that when we sin, when we go back and make ourselves dirty, we are quick to repent. We run to him. We don't run away from him. Because as Christians, we tend to go, it's like, oh, shucks, I've sinned. Jesus is looking at me. I need to go the other direction.
Sure.
That's what we do as Christians, because we're afraid. We're scared, because that's the way that our families, our fathers and our mothers treated us. You've wronged, you get a hiding. You've messed up. Okay. Pay with your salary that I'm giving you every month. You're going to replace that window that you broke. And that is the picture that we have in our hearts and in our minds of a father. But that is not our Father God. When we sin, his cries for us to come closer become louder.
Sure.
The forgiveness becomes bigger. Because why would Jesus say in the scriptures, when he speaks to Simon Peter, he says, but this guy sinned against me, so how much should I forgive him? And then Jesus says to Simon Peter, 70 times 7. And when I read it, I'm like, you, Lord, that actually is so gracious.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't called us just to do it 70 times 7. He's called us for the rest of our lives to forgive, forgive, forgive. Doesn't matter what happens.
Sure.
And so if He has called us to that, it means that He walks in that. Forgiving us daily. I'm 27 years old, which means that how many days are in a year? 365.
Correct.
Okay, so someone make the numbers. 27 and times 365. Calculator, okay. 365 times
9,855.
Do you think that's more than 70 times 7? So I believe that God has forgiven me, most likely, more than this number.
Yeah.
Of the things I've done. The sins I've done in my life. I think some days, Jesus probably had to forgive me 10 to 20 times a day. And that is the calling of holiness. Is that even though we sin, we choose to run towards Him and not away from Him. We say, Lord, I have sinned. I have fallen short. But man, Lord, I want to come back. Would you forgive me? Would you help me to clean this mud, this gunk that I've picked up during the day? Would you help me to get it rid of it? Clean it. Get it away from me. This is such a beautiful scripture for me. Philippians 2 verse 13. It says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. So it's not by your strength. It's not by my strength. It's not by my ability. It's by His grace that I'm able to walk into the purpose that He's called me to. And so He's saying, be holy as I am holy. He's not saying, okay, now be holy and I'm going to leave you alone to do it on your own. No, He's saying, I have called you to holiness. So I'm going to walk with you till the day that you die. So that you're able to walk in it. Because it's for His purpose. And so as we grow in holiness, our heart attitude starts changing towards sin. Sin becomes yucky. Sin becomes gross. It's like, I don't want to be close to it. I flee from it. I run away from sin. Instead of now running away from my Father as I sin, I start running towards my Father away from my sin. Because when we are part of the world, sinning is like counting. It's easy. 1, 2, 3, and you've committed 10 sins. But when with Jesus, He's saying, I've forgiven you. I've set you apart for a greater calling, a purpose of holiness, to look like me.
Yeah.
When we live to become holy as He is holy, Jesus becomes our desires. Not sin, not worldly passions, and not things of this world. He becomes my desire. But how do I grow in holiness? This is where it's going to become quite easy. Hard, but easy. Spend time with Him. Get to know Him as a Father. Get to know Him as the character that He has called you to be. So read His truth. The letters in the Bible have been written so that we can look more like Jesus. To walk into the holiness He has called us to. Allowing the Holy Spirit to change us. To live in us and to live through us. Asking Him every day, I'm spending time with Jesus right now, but Holy Spirit, will You come and change me? Would You come and show me what does the Father want to say to me this morning? And so we now start living for Jesus. And we're asking the Holy Spirit constantly, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit help. Because Jesus didn't send the helper, which is the Holy Spirit, for you to just go out on your own and do your own thing. He sent the Holy Spirit, the helper, to come and help you. It's strange, right? Sending the helper to come and help you. There's a reason. Because we cannot do it without Jesus. We cannot do it on our own. I can't go to the supermarket and buy holiness. It's merely impossible.
Yes.
Imagine how easy Christianity would be if I could just go to the shop and say, hey, can I get a bottle of holiness? Drink a bottle of holiness and I'm ready for the day. I was in Russia a few years ago and I had the privilege to drink holy water. Can I tell you the honest truth? I spat it out. It was disgusting. I spat it out. I was like, this tastes so gross. I'm like, this is supposed to be water. It's supposed to be nice. I couldn't swallow. And I was like, that is the holy pool. It's full of holes. There's no purpose. But you and me, we've been called for a purpose. A call to walk into the holiness of Christ. So we need to read our words so that we can become more like Him. To get to know Him, to see Him for who He really is. The truth about our Father, the truth about Jesus. Because He's coming back for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Will you be ready? If He comes tomorrow, are you ready? Are you sitting with sin, shame, guilt? What are you sitting with? Because the longer I hold on to it, the greater burden it becomes to me. And so as you read God's word, it starts changing us. Because we start learning the truth and we start adjusting towards the truth. So Lord, I don't want to look like that anymore. I don't want to look like You. And here is something different. Something that might challenge each and every one of us. Holiness comes at a great cost and a great price for us. Because it's this. I have sinned. Unyake. I want to repent. I've repented before God. But I want to repent before You and say, I have sinned. I've stole something. I've looked with someone with lust in my eyes. I've murdered. Murder is not just physically murdering someone. Actually, what I see in the Bible, it's saying hating someone is as good as murder. Lying, stealing, cheating, whatever it might be. Doesn't matter the shame, doesn't matter the guilt. That will eat you up. But when you come to a brother or a sister and saying, I've asked God to forgive me, but I want to bring this in front of you because I want You to help me. Because there's some things we just cannot do on our own. Because when sin stays in darkness, it will remain there and it will destroy us. Don't let sin be hidden so deep that it destroys you from the inside. So we need to learn how to repent to one another. So I've messed up. I drove over a red light. I know it's against the law. So I've actually broken the law. I'm not honoring my government. I'm not honoring the rules that have been set there for me. So I want to repent.
Yeah.
I literally had to repent to someone the one day because I hooted at them. I didn't repent to the person, but I repented to my elder. And I said to him, I went and I rooted at someone rapidly. And I said to him, the reason why I did it, because I was so angry, I became irritated with this person. And so anger and irritation filled my heart. And I had to go and repent before the Lord. honestly, the most difficult thing probably would have been if I knew who the person was, or started following the person till their workplace and actually go and say, Lord, I want to repent. I want to repent to that person because I've wronged them. They probably won't think much of it. But as a Christian, I'm called to a higher standard, a holy purpose, which means that even if it doesn't bother that person, I'm going to go to them and say, I want to repent because I've wronged you. They probably will laugh at you, not care, but man, it will set you free. It will set me free. So learn how to be quick to repent. In front of God, but in front of people. Because the enemy loves it when we are proud. He loves it when we don't come in all humility to people and say, I need to repent and ask for forgiveness. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. So as we do the will of the Father, which is a call for us, call to be holy as He is holy, call to be quick to repent, slow to anger, stepping away from sin and stepping towards God's goodness, God's favor. And I want to say for each and every one of us in this room is that this is difficult. It is not easy. Because to grow into that which God has called you to, it's going to take time, it's going to take energy, it's going to take effort. But the one thing it's going to cost you the most is humility. Because the proud says, I don't have to do that. So as we grow into the knowledge of God's heart and His desires for our lives, we start to live for Him and not for ourselves. So would you be willing to grow into the desires of God's heart and His nature? Because that's going to cost you time with Him, time in His presence. It's going to cost you your comfortability. It's going to cost you your finances. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your efforts. It's going to cost you everything. Your whole life. I want to go back to 1 Peter 1:14. And it says, this is the NIV translation, it's a different translation, but this one says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. And I want to say this. This is the hard thing about Christianity. As soon as we hear something from the Word of God, we are kept accountable because of it. So what we have heard, what we have listened to, what we have seen and read, as soon as we read it, as soon as we learn what it means, we become accountable. And so each and every one of us will be accountable for the things we've read. If it says forgive your brother or your sister and you choose to not forgive, you are going to be kept accountable. I'm going to be kept accountable. Yeah. If you know the Bible says do not steal, do not lie, do not murder, do not fall in adultery. If we do it, we are going to be kept accountable. But there is forgiveness. There is grace from a loving Father that doesn't want you to walk down that lonely road. He doesn't want you to walk into the burden of death. He wants you to walk into the freedom and the holiness that He has called you to. Saying no to sin and saying yes to Him.